Once again, I'm so grateful that you're worshiping with us this evening. Before we dive into this familiar scripture story, I did want to let you know about a sermon series that we have coming up in January. I don't know if you remember back during the inauguration at the beginning of the year, but we got to hear from a young woman named Amanda Gorman. She gave her poem, "The Hill We Climb." And over the course of January, we're going to start a series looking at some of the themes of her writing that I think are really important for us as a community. I think they speak in the midst of the chaos that we were experiencing at the beginning of the year, and they speak into any time. And so I hope you'll be a part of that sermon series called "The Hill We Climb." It's going to be quite exciting. Friends, tonight we get to read these familiar words, and we'll have another scripture from Matthew, but right now I want to just share these words from Luke, and I would invite you just to let them wash over you. "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration was taken while Quirinius was governor in Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told to them." May God add blessing to our reading and hearing and experiencing of this story this night. When I was growing up, much younger, I loved to go out and go camping. It was one of my favorite activities, and so I would go intermittently to various places, and I enjoyed getting out into the more remote areas. Not that I grew up in a concrete jungle, but just to be more far removed from my everyday life, I usually enjoyed the experience very much. But one of my favorite parts about going camping when I was younger is that I would very oftentimes spend much of the night laying out and just looking at the stars. I remember many a night with my back on a picnic table just staring up to the stars. Sometimes I would have conversations with friends as that was going on. Sometimes it was just by myself, just wondering and watching and waiting, just staring at the stars in the sky. I loved that. I think the stars have always captured my attention. I think about that when I see full moons like we had earlier this week. I think about that also every time I read this story. I can't help but wonder, were those shepherds doing that same thing while they were out in the fields that night? Were they laying in the grass, looking up at the stars? Perhaps a quiet lull had come into their conversation, or maybe they were yammering. Were they just staring at the stars when the angels showed up, tore open the skies, and said, "I've got good news"? I don't know. I just wonder. I've always been fascinated by the lights in the sky. They elicit awe and wonder in me, and that's been true my whole life. As I got older, that led to other sorts of things. And so I really love to watch historical space movies. So I could probably give you every line of Apollo 13 and other gems like Independence Day. I love learning what happened in history of space travel. I got a telescope at one point when I was a little bit older. I never could figure out how to make it work, though. And then I remember when I learned about the Hubble telescope. And this was back when having internet in your house was sort of like iffy. You weren't sure if you got it. And I remember I would scroll through photos when it took about 16 seconds to load each page that had one photo on it. I would scroll through photos of the Hubble telescope that it had taken out in the world of the universe. And just being fascinated by that I could do that for hours and hours and hours. See, I've always been fascinated by space, but it seems that we collectively have always been fascinated by what is beyond. And so you can imagine my excitement when I learned about the James Webb telescope. Have you heard about this? As of the time of this recording, it is scheduled to be launched early on Christmas Eve morning. So probably by the time you're watching this, it will have already been launched. This is a collaborative project led by NASA that's involved people across the world to put a new generation of telescope up into the air, out of the atmosphere, in order to take pictures of the universe around us. I think it's so, so cool. So it's the latest and greatest technology. It's several generations ahead of where the Hubble telescope was or is, even as it is right now. It will take up residence a million miles from the Earth. Think about that, beyond our orbit. So that is further from Earth than Earth is from the sun. So it's going to go out there. It'll take it 6 months before it starts working, but that's where it's going to live, and it's going to take pictures. It uses not only optical photos, we'll take optical photos like you and I can see, but its primary purpose is that it does infrared imaging. Now, I don't know what that means, you don't know what that means, but the point is that they think it's a really big deal. And it'll help them see light that is incomprehensibly old and understand things about the universe. I keep saying world, the universe that we don't understand right now. And here's what's fascinating to me. I was reading on NASA's website about it, because that's what you do. And it says things like this. This is the very beginning of sort of the press release, press packet about this telescope. The Webb story, unfolding our cosmic history. And then the first heading is, where did we come from? The greatest origin story of all unfolds with the James Webb Space Telescope. I mean, they really know how to capture your attention, right? It goes on to say things like this: Webb will fundamentally alter our understanding of the universe. It can observe all of the cosmos, and begins to talk about how our origins and how it helps us understand who we are. Friends, for as long as there is record of human history, we've been staring up at the sky. We've been fascinated by what's out there and wondered what it all means. We've looked up at the stars and skies and endeavored to know more about them. And we've pursued that at great financial and personal and even human life cost. For a long, long, long time, we've been looking up. So I told you, I wonder if that's what the shepherds were doing that night. But of course, they aren't the only ones in our Christmas story that were looking up. We also hear in our Christmas story of the Magi, who we sometimes call the three kings, the wise men, following a star to find Jesus. And so I want to read this from Matthew 2. This will be our last reading for the evening. And I'm just going to read some parts of their story. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who was born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we've come to pay him homage." When Herod heard about this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired to them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea." Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time that the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word so that I can pay homage as well." When the Magi had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Friends, may God add blessing to our reading and understanding of this as well. Sometimes the Magi don't make it into our preaching and our stories or even our manger scenes until January, until Epiphany. That's usually when we celebrate it. But I saw them a few weeks ago at our Living Nativity with their temperamental camel. So I'm certain that they're here this year. They've made it in time. Truth be told, friends, we don't know very much about them. We don't know. We sometimes call them wise men or magi or astrologers. We don't know, though, their real title. We don't know where they're from. We don't know how many they are. We don't know what their gender is. We don't know what their role or title or station in life is. Friends, there's really a lot that we don't know. I think we do know that they had a camel, though, because a manger scene would be way less interesting if there wasn't a camel involved. Beyond that, there's very little that we know. But these magi, we do read, are looking up at the stars, and they embark on this journey. And there are a few other things that we know or we assume about them that I think are very instructive for us this night. Of course, I'm thinking about them because of this telescope that's being launched today and the fascination that we continue to have with the lights in the sky and what it all means. But there are some things that we think we know and that we assume about them that I think can be instructive for us. We who sometimes look up at stars and wonder, we who sometimes find ourselves on long, unexpected journeys. And so I want to share those tonight. First of all, the Magi affirm and illustrate the idea that from ancient history to now, we've been captivated by what is beyond. Our fascinations with the cosmos and the stars is, I believe, not coincidental. I think that there is this intuitive, deep conviction that what is beyond is somehow connected to what is within, that somehow that is connected to us. I think as we read from that web information and we get this idea, NASA's take on this inherent belief that it can somehow teach us something about ourselves and that knowing more about what is beyond will help us learn about us as well. Are these the same desires that cause some people to want to find out their ancestry or participate in those sorts of things? And doesn't it speak of our deeper longing just to fit in, to know what, to what and how and just simply to know that we belong, to know that we have a place and we're a part of a bigger story? I think it's all connected. I've been reading this devotion by Scott Erickson, and he says that the part of what the Magi teach us is there are these exterior patterns that point to patterns inside of our hearts and our souls. But friends, just because we're captivated by what is beyond doesn't mean that we're always paying attention. You know, in our manger scenes or paintings, there's often this giant bright star that exists above it. And here's the deal. If there was a star that was that giant and bright, I think more people would have noticed. Part of what the Magi teach us is to pay attention to the things that are happening around us. Sometimes we trip over the truth. It hits us like a 2x4. We can't bother. We can't help but missing it. Other times, I think we walk right by it. We don't take notice. How many others in their day didn't notice the star at its rising, didn't know what to do with it? The scripture suggests that even Herod can't follow it by himself. They know something. They've been paying attention. They've been on a long journey. When I was out camping, one of my favorite things as I was growing up was the number of shooting stars that I would see a night. I mean, it was just mind-blowing to me that when you get out of the city a little bit and away from some light pollution, how much more you see. But here's what's interesting. A few times in life when I've paid attention more to what's going on around me, what I've noticed is that you can see them even in the midst of the city and the light pollution. If only you'll look up. I often don't and I miss them, but it doesn't mean that they aren't happening all around us. Part of what the Magi teach us is to pay attention to the longings within and to watch for the lights beyond ourselves. They also teach us that wonder is more fully experienced through participation, not merely observation. Notice that they didn't say, wow, look, the king must be born, the king of the Jews. That's super interesting, and go on about their lives. We often imagine, and again, this is creative imagination, that they left a lot behind, their house, whatever they had built for themselves, whatever they had amassed, whatever they knew, they left it all behind to go and find this king who had been born. Paying attention is an important first step, but responding is the second step. The Magi's journey is an act of faith. And by their faith, they're participating in a cosmic story. And friends, you and I have invitations all the time to do the same. We're surrounded by stars and stories that invite us not only to watch and to pay attention, but to be a part of them, to learn and to act, to find ourselves within them. This story tonight is no different. It invites us to find ourselves in it, to find meaning and purpose, to live as if love has come into the world, and that changes everything. That's the story we're talking about tonight. The third thing is that the Magi remind us that just like our universal fascination with the lights and all that is beyond that we cannot understand, so too this gift that has come to us, a light in the darkness, is universal and it is for everyone. So the Magi represent the foreigners who are not a part of the Jewish people, who aren't in this from this land, who haven't been included in all of the history. Their family stories, their lineage isn't included in Matthew's genealogy. They're not a part of the story. And yet, God is certain, and Matthew is certain, that these foreigners who come from afar tell a story that indicate that everybody is involved, everyone is included. They represent the breaking open of the floodgates of grace being offered to all people. We hear the angels say that to the shepherds, who wouldn't have been included because they were nobodies, they were passed over, they weren't that important. The star is the indication, and the Magi coming to find the king, that all people will be a part of this story. That's so important for us, because sometimes we feel like we don't fit in. We don't get to be a part of the story. Sometimes we feel like we shouldn't be a part of the story because of what we've done, because of the paths that we've walked, because of the things that we struggle with, the things that we say, because of the habits or hurts or hang-ups we've experienced, because of the doubt that we carry. Sometimes we think we don't get to be a part. Friends, let this story and let these Magi be a reminder that this grace is for everyone, and that includes you. Just like space is sort of this unifying thing. One of the things that I love about this is that we have like the International Space Station. And throughout history, I know there was races to the moon and all that. One of the few places that we've been able to collaborate over the last 100 years is in this idea of space exploration. If you want to know more about it, again, watch the movie Independence Day. It documents it very well. But we've been able to come together when much divides us, because there is this universal fascination with what is beyond. And if this is universal, then we want to know more about it. Friends, this Webb telescope took 29 states and 14 countries participating over the course of my lifetime. The Magi indicate that this news is for all. And I think part of the story is that Jesus coming is speaking into a longing that's universal, that all of us share, to understand our place, to know that we are enough and that we're loved. This is a theme we'll see all throughout Matthew's gospel. In fact, Jesus' last words in Matthew's gospel will be the Great Commission. He'll send out his disciples into all of the world to make more disciples. That's what he says. It begins with these foreigners coming from the east to participate, and it ends with Jesus sending his disciples into all the world. The fourth thing that the Magi remind us is that there will be grace for our journey if we're willing to embark on it. They're courageous to begin with, but that doesn't mean that the journey was easy. We imagine their journey, and we think that sometimes we imagine it could have taken as long as 3 years. And when they show up late, And they're in the wrong place. They show up to Herod. Because if a king's going to be born, of course you go to where the power is. You go to where all of the energy is centralized. They miss it by a few miles. Friends, if we're willing to embark on these journeys, if we're willing to say yes to the offer, to the invitation, if we take notice and begin those journeys, there will be grace for us to sustain us through it. There will be guideposts and waymarkers. They may look in like unexpected things, but there will be grace for the journeys if we're willing to take them in any journey that's worth taking. I think we get guidance from God. Fifth and finally, I think we see in the Magi a reflection back on the many journeys that we find ourselves on. Sometimes we need to be reminded that the grace will surprise us like a 2x4 across the face. We need to be reminded that God can break in, that angels can come while we're staring up at the stars, can announce good and amazing news in a way that we absolutely cannot miss it. That will happen, friends. But sometimes we also need to be reminded that the journey of grace is long and winding and complicated, full of fits and starts and stops and turnarounds. Sometimes it can feel costly. Some of these journeys that we go on, they're universal. We share a longing to know about our significance and purpose and place in the world. We embark on journeys of meaning making and seasons of love and of loss and of learning. In the last 2 years, some of our frustration has been this feeling of fluttering or floundering or wasting time or treading water. Some of those journeys that we face in life, the coming of age stories, they're universal. But there are other journeys that are far more personal. A persistent nagging to move on to something or somewhere or someone else, a nudge towards reconciliation, a deep longing for something new, an invitation to trust that still small voice that says you are enough. Maybe you come to this night and you wonder if there's anything in this story for you. And the journey of magi from afar and shepherds surprised by grace and scared teenagers bringing a child into the world and love showing up in a quiet, unexpected, totally missable way. Friends, I'm here to tell you there is this story, like the stars, invites us not only to watch, but to learn and to participate and to find something of ourselves in it. We're invited not only to notice, but to participate in the new life and the light and the love and the grace that's come into the world, to experience hope and peace and joy, and to invite others into that same experience. We're invited on a journey, and it might lead us to a deeper understanding of ourselves and of the wonders that we have and the questions that we carry. Might also invite us into a deeper understanding of the world and our place in all of it. The wise men follow a light, and it leads them to the light of the world. The light that we follow may not always be stars in the sky, and the journeys that we take might not always lead us across miles of desert. And the truth that we uncover may not always look like a child in a manger. But what is around us and beyond us is somehow, by providence or grace, connected to what is within us. And wonder will most truly be experienced through participation. And tonight, most especially, we remind ourselves that God's gift is for all, and that includes you. And if we receive it, there will be grace for the journey. And that journey, friends, will be worth it. May you find yourself in this story tonight. And may you find that the light will ever lead you home. Amen. Let's take a few moments for reflection.